This is Stories Worth Sharing from the Church of England. Reverend Simon Jones has introduced a brand new way for his church to think about volunteering and serving. So Simon, you began a new preaching series at your church called Fruitfulness on the Front Line. Can you tell us a bit about what made you decide to do this?
Yeah, we began a series of teaching in our church services, partly because we recognise that often with churches, what we tend to do is we focus our attention on the church itself, so people coming to services or people helping out in a variety of ways, and often it becomes a sort of an introverted focus. And for us, we felt we wanted to do a series which was entitled Fruitfulness on the Front Line to recognize that for most people, they spend most of their time, unless they happen to be the vicar, out and about, kind of in their workplaces, you know, working in schools, in hospitals, in offices, and that we wanted to do a range of teaching that encouraged each of us to see that as the place where God was present and active and doing his thing. And yeah, it was a place where, in a sense, that's the front line of Christian living and service and operation. So that's why we called it Fruitfulness on the Front Line. And we took the idea, I mean, a number of churches have done the same thing. There's a fantastic organization based in London called the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, LICC, and they produced loads of resources to help churches work this through. And so we simply got in touch with them, used the resources, and have found a massive benefit in terms of the life of our church, just viewing things a bit differently. A small change, but a significant change, in the sense people just seeing where they were operating in their working life as the place that God had placed them, called them, and therefore he was calling them to be fruitful in.
I suppose kind of that idea of people seeing, yeah, their context and their everyday life as this is where my sphere of influence is, these are the people that I can speak to, these are the people who, you know, I might be the only version of kind of Christianity that they see in a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And how does that, you know, how does that look to them? Am I being everything that I'm called to be, and am I doing it in a way which shows, you know, the love of Christ and grace and all of that sort of stuff? It's a really, really interesting approach to it.
Yeah, it's about having kind of joined up lives, I think, that doesn't, you know, we don't just view Sundays as the moment, the only moment in the week where we, A, connect with God, B, connect with other people, and C, find ourselves being useful and, you know, operational as a Christian. So, and I think, you know, we've probably all been there in terms of our attendance in church, you know, for those that go. And I think we wanted to try and have a bit of a focus that shifts us away from it's all about Sunday to really viewing Sunday as the training place, a meeting place for the marketplace, so that we were, yeah, keeping our attention focused on where we spent most of our time in our homes, our families, and in our workplaces, that enabled us to be, yeah, as faithful a witness as we could be.
And I suppose that, does that translate into the way that you're encouraging people to now volunteer or to look at volunteering at the churches?
Yeah, we alongside the whole Fruitfulness on the Front Line, we recognise that often there are needs in a church community, whatever size, and generally you discover that there are needs when you are there on a Sunday and you listen to the endless cycle of notices that appear at the front of churches.
I'm sure that happens at a lot of churches.
Yeah, I think most churches do it. I mean, you know, we're the same. You know, somebody stands up at the front and says, you know, we're looking for volunteers to serve the coffee, or we're looking for volunteers to mow the churchyard, or we're looking for volunteers to, you know, to do whatever. That's the approach that tends to happen. And I think our observation here was that in doing that, most people count themselves out even right before you start. So they kind of go, oh, well, look, somebody else will do that. Mm. And yeah, so we thought, well, we need a different approach to our volunteering, as it were. And so we decided to do a couple of things. The first thing we did was we, over 4 weeks of this preaching series, Fruitfulness on the Frontline, we also ran what we called an Opportunities to Serve Roadshow, which meant that over four Sundays, anybody who was involved already in an area of church life or serving in the community effectively stood over coffee at the end of a church service wearing a Dayglo jacket with the area that they were involved in kind of printed on the front of their shirt, as it were. So it was things like technical support, or it was, you know, tea and coffee, or it was mission action group. It was in any area where people were serving. We just, over coffee, enabled others to come and ask questions about what it would be like to serve in that area of church life or community life. And we discovered that actually, in that, conversation started to flow. People could discover a bit more detail about what volunteering might look like. But also we started to frame volunteering in the language of Christian service, rather than we need you to volunteer. We started to say, you know, we're all in this together. We're all called to serve in one way or another in our Christian life. Maybe this could be part of that. Maybe this Opportunities to Serve Roadshow could help you discover where it is that you might want to, yeah, spend your time, your resources, you know, your energy, looking out for serving other people. So, and actually we, you know, for me, it brought a lot of, it actually lifted a lot of pressure, because often for the person who's the minister of a church, they have to stand at the front and say, you know, we need volunteers for this, that, and the other. And it's generally about, if it becomes an us and them thing, you know, we need you to help us do the thing that you're reluctant to do in the first place. You know, it seems like we end up in this sort of vicious downward spiral. And so we thought we needed a slightly different approach to thinking about volunteering, to not do, and we now tend not to do it, actually, public notices about volunteering.
Okay.
We just tend to not bother, partly because they've not been very fruitful, but also because it slightly undermines often volunteering and service. So we tend now to do much more personal approaches to people, and therefore have conversations about opportunities to serve, rather than can we add you to our list of volunteers.
I mean, what's really interesting about that is it's kind of turning this idea of, as you were talking about, turning volunteering on its head and saying, well, it's service, and it's not about you giving up your time, it's not about you sacrificing all of this stuff, but it's about this service to the church, service to other people, and also actually the stuff that you can receive from that, and receive from that service, and building that community with people you might not have hung out with, or, you know, helping in other ways. It's as much about receiving something as well as it is just giving of your time.
Yeah, I mean, it also frames volunteering a bit more biblically as well, actually. I mean, you know, the volunteering doesn't get a look out in the New Testament in terms of the word, but actually service does a lot. And, you know, the whole, as many in Anglican churches will say each week, you know, Jesus said, you know, let your light shine before people, that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. And and in a sense, I think it's framing volunteering as an opportunity to serve, and recognizing that actually we're all called to it. It's not some volunteer and some don't.
Yeah.
It's that actually we're all called to a life of service. It's simply the deal is discovering where that service is, needs to be, and is going to be most effective. So yeah, I think it's slightly reframing our thinking on not just asking for volunteers, but giving, yeah, reminders of service. And then I think taking seriously the reality of training people. So for example, on the first Sunday that we did this Opportunities to Serve Roadshow, I mean, we're not a mega Anglican church. You know, we have 400 people on our electoral roll. So it's, you know, it's kind of a reasonable sized Anglican church grown over the years. But, you know, we've not got thousands of people. But on the first Sunday, 60 people had out of the conversations that they had, signed up to discover a bit wow. more about what it would mean to serve in a different aspect of church life or community life. And out of that, there was probably a dozen or so people that were interested in thinking that God might be calling them into preaching or leading services. So next a week on Saturday, I'm gathering all those people together on a Saturday morning for a couple of hours. We'll have coffee together and I'll do some initial training on what it means to be someone who preaches or leads services, and we'll start to give people put some flesh on the bones of what it means to serve in that specific area of church life. But we do that across the board. So people that signed up to help with technical stuff, with PA systems and audio visual, we'll run training sessions for them so that those who are already serving have a chance to pass on both some knowledge of what it is like to serve in that area, but also some enthusiasm and passion. And I kind of have been rethinking the whole volunteer thing over the years, and discovered that people are much more likely to say, yes, I'll have a go, if you talk to them face to face.
Yeah.
If you ask them specifically what you're wanting, where there's an opportunity to serve, and if you give a bit of assistance in terms of giving some training and help, so that people don't feel that they're jumping straight into the deep end with no sort of help or support given. So, I think over the years, I think there are a few moments when I've asked people to do things when they've said, actually, absolutely not, I can't do that at the moment. But more often than not, people have said, yeah, I'd like to know a bit more, or yeah, I'll give that a go. So that's just been a little interesting cameo for me of thinking, oh, well, maybe, yeah, much more fruitful to have face-to-face conversations with people about what it means to serve than it is to do big public notices. And we don't do that. I mean, if we think about what happens now in churches with children's work, there would be I would be surprised if there are any Anglican churches, for instance, that have people standing at the front and saying, if you'd like to help with our children's work, please dive into our Sunday school or our Sunday yeah. club this Sunday. Because we're very careful about that now, the safeguarding issues and all of that. So it's much more focused on finding the right people, checking them out, making sure that they're okay, supporting them, etc. And I think if we're doing that in our children's work and youth work, we can replicate that across other areas of opportunities to serve in church and community.
You mentioned that you're not by any means a massive Anglican church, but of course there'll be other Anglican churches and vicars and members listening to this who are saying, well, you've got 400 on your electoral roll, we've only got a much smaller amount than that. I mean, what would you say to those churches who say we just cannot find the volunteers to do the basic stuff to keep us going? How would you encourage them to say you can find the people, but maybe think about it in this way?
Yeah, I mean, within our deanery here, there are a spread of Anglican churches, and some that are much smaller. And I think often people will say things like, "We can't get the volunteers." And I think in that, when people say things like that, I think as I'm listening, I'm trying to listen to what's behind that comment, because even the statement "we can't get volunteers,"
yeah,
it seems to me is the wrong starting point. Even in the language of "we can't get," seems to suggest that volunteering is a thing that's owed to particular churches or to particular leaders. And so I always say, and I think whenever I've been to a church, if I've been to speak or visit a church that I don't worship in or lead, but then you can see that there are always people actually, even if it's 15 people in the congregation, well, you've got, I mean, already you've got three more than Jesus had. And Jesus took a massive risk, didn't he, with his close friends?
Absolutely.
He gave away a lot of responsibility quite quickly. He showed them what to do. He spent time with them. But then he basically said, right, you know, now you go and do it. And I think that something in that is about us reframing our volunteering questions, about approaching people individually, about looking at the people we've got and thinking, do you know what, Fred over there, every Sunday he seems to do a great job at just chatting to the people around him. Why don't I go and ask Fred whether he'd be happy to every Sunday just to stand at the door and welcome people as they come in, and maybe give out some leaflets, or to you know, to be a kind of a, you know, a pointer towards another area of the church's life, or to just to help people get engaged if they're new. So I think it's from a leadership perspective, it's about looking at the people you've got, not discounting who you've got, even if they seem to be, you know, they just come on a Sunday and they sit in a pew. Well, they probably do that because nobody's actually asked a question saying, look, you know, I see that you you seem pretty eloquent. You know, you seem to speak very clearly. You know, would you like to read a Sunday reading, or, you know, would you like to help us in our prayers? You know, in the life of the church. You know, there are all kinds of ways of doing it. I just think we have tended to do it at a distance. Mm-hmm. And what I'm suggesting for church leaders is they need to get maybe up close and personal with congregations a bit, and to make the big ask a bit more often, rather than just waiting for people to knock on your door and say, I heard what you said last week, Vicar, and it was so amazing. I'm inspired to such a degree that I would now like to be the answer to all your volunteering problems. I just don't think that happens anymore, and maybe it never did, but yeah, so it's much more, I think, about leadership, looking at who we've got and thinking, do you know what? I'm going to ask this person whether they can help in this area. And there may be moments when there are some kickbacks and people say, thank you for asking me, but no thanks. But I, in some ways, I've learned to, you know, I'd much prefer that, a conversation where somebody says no thanks, than no conversation at all.
No, definitely.
So, so that's just, yeah, just started to look at it a bit differently. And so I think the size of the church in some ways, actually people often will look at our church and say, well, you've got lots of people, getting volunteers must be easier. And actually it becomes more difficult. It's as difficult, if not more so, because in any church that's got a lot of things going on, the number of areas of ministry spread. So from children's work, youth work, coffee shop, we run a preschool and nursery, that, you know, there's a big sort of church center that we operate. You know, there's the need doesn't go away, and it doesn't get easier. It actually escalates when the church is growing. And therefore, I think it's about having some thought about the kind of approach that a church might need to take with its volunteering opportunities. And also recognize that actually it's not all about church either. You know, that there are any number of opportunities in the community where we can do our bit and play our part. So I think it's not just the culturally, it's not just the church that's standing back going, how do we get volunteers? I hear it all the time from scouts, from our local parish council, you know, all the time. Kind of culture, I think people have retreated a bit from volunteering, and therefore need an extra nudge of encouragement face to face to help them step back in again.
That was a story worth sharing from the Church of England. Thanks for listening.